Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of A Place in the Conversation. My name is Dan Neiswanger, and I'm here with my partner, Nick Everhart. And today we're going to be making a place in the conversation to be talking about digital equity. And we have two guests with us, Jim Mercanti and Joan Holliday. And Nick is with us as well. And I'm looking forward to our conversation. And Joan, why don't you introduce yourself, and then Jim, introduce yourself. And then Joan, maybe why don't you share a little bit about how you got involved with the issue of digital equity.
Thank you so much. Really happy to be here. My history kind of is part of Kennett Square for about 42 years now. I worked as a public health nurse for 32 years and felt like I watched the growth of the town and got to know the town and know all the diversity in the town because my work called me forth into homes to really serve the vulnerable population, a lot of the migrant population. So I would say that I dealt with equity from the day one when I came into town, but I never thought of it in terms of just focusing on the poor people. I saw it as part of building a community and actually getting all the resources for everyone. So Jim will share more about SCON, but I was on a meeting during the pandemic that talked about how the teachers were having so many problems with virtual learning, with students not having internet access, not having devices, not having enough internet connectivity in the home for more than one or two people. And so it was a real issue. I mean, we heard stories of kids sitting outside of Starbucks to just get some kind of a signal. So I saw it as an equity issue, and I was retired, and I thought, well, maybe this is something I can sink my teeth into. And I really have and have enjoyed working on it, but see it as a huge, huge journey. It's not a sprint, as Jim would say. It's a journey. So we've been into this about 2 years now, and again, Jim can talk about getting involved, but I'm really excited about the idea that we're trying to work on an infrastructure that's going to create a capacity for all our residents.
Thank you.
Jim, you want to go?
Hello. Thanks, Dan, for hosting us here today. My name is Jim Mercanti. As Joan said, I'm a retired business person as well, and got involved, I guess, in the Kennett Square area about 5 or 6 years ago, mostly through the Kennett Square YMCA. I was on the board and then board chair for a few years. During that time, I came I became aware of an organization called the Southern Chester County Opportunity Network, or as Joan referred, SCON, and got involved in affordable housing, strategic planning, community social service work. And then as Joan articulated, when the pandemic hit, we were on weekly calls to help folks with all of the basic necessities of life, and we learned that there was a great need for what we'll call digital connectivity, because the kids were trying to do virtual learning and they couldn't do virtual learning, as Joan articulated. So we took on this particular task of trying to see how we could make digital equity, so to speak, a reality throughout all of Southern Chester County, and now it's Chester County, because we believe that access to the internet is almost like access to electricity or water. It's a basic need in a community, because if you don't have access to the internet, there are things that you can't do around health, around education, around libraries, around civic participation, around communicating with your loved ones, all of the different things that, you know, we perhaps take the internet for granted for. So that was and that is our mission now. And again, not just Southern Chester County, but now it's all of Chester County.
So help some of us who may be in a place or a position where, like, we have good access to the internet and we kind of do take it for granted that, you know, anytime we pick up our phone, we are going to have access to the internet, or when we're at our home. You know, my wife, you know, for me, for example, my wife works from home, and she's able to do everything she needs to do from home. I work from home and I'm online at the same time, and my daughter will take classes at night. So sometimes, you know, there's at least three of us online at the same time. And so help some of us for whom that's our reality, that's our experience. Help us understand where where some of the disconnect is, where there are people within our community that's not their reality. Because I think sometimes we look at the world through our own lenses and we say, oh, well, everything's great, everything's fine. And that's not always the case. So what have you guys found as you've done your work?
Thank you for that, bringing that up. There really is this feeling that Chester County is a wealthy county, and so we don't have any problems. And Jim and I both have confronted that several times in conversations. But when I went into the homes, I could see that they didn't have connectivity when I was visiting. In rural communities, a lot of times don't have that last mile because it's expensive. So we kind of looked at this in three areas. We needed an assessment that would help us see where were the voids in connectivity in the southern Chester County area. We decided to focus on that because we both knew that community. We looked at literacy, which we felt a lot of people didn't know how to use the internet or how to use even an iPhone, very limited. And then affordability. Those three issues were ones that we saw were really key. And this has become a national issue. It's not just Southern Chester County. The pandemic pushed this ahead, as Dan McGuire from Kennett High School said, 5 years. He said, you know, they were looking at so many more ways of helping students get a connectivity in the home. But we're now pushing ahead because of the pandemic. So Jim can talk about how we gathered people together and worked on this assessment issue, you know?
So when Joan and I started back in, I guess it was late 2020, we had a community meeting, a Zoom call in early 2021, in which we had probably about 50 or 60 stakeholders from across southern Chester County, and actually even parts of Chester County, state senators, state representatives, people from the county commission, local Kennett officials, and then a lot of the social service organizations. And like a lot of things, you know, people really had no idea of the gap, the digital divide is what it's called, between people who are fortunate enough to have access to the internet every day and can afford to have access to the internet and have high speed and reliable and have devices that they can use, and people who have none of those things. And so it was partly advocacy and awareness. And then, as Joan said, we asked for money to do an assessment of the digital divide in southern Chester County. And we were able to get $200,000 through the county commissioners and the Department of Community Development to have an assessment done in the latter part of 2021 and the early part of 2022. And that reinforced, so to speak, or confirmed the pockets of digital inequity, people, places that did not have access to the internet. And Joan already gave one example of where during the pandemic, kids were, you know, using their cell phones to try and do virtual learning. And so just think about the small form factor that the cell phone is, and you're trying to learn history or geography or mathematics. I mean, it just, and compounded by the fact that, you know, they didn't have any internet access. So they're going around to libraries, or they're going around to Starbucks or McDonald's or other public places where you can get to the internet for free. So this has been a journey for us for the last 2 years. And I think we're still on the journey to make people aware of the fact that this is an issue in Southern Chester County. And regardless of the wealth of Southern Chester County, there are pockets in Chester County. So like it could be Honeybrook, it could be West Fallowfield, it could be Oxford, where it's very rural and people just don't have access to the internet. Or if they do have access to the internet, the speed is so poor that you can't have more than one or one and a half people on the internet at a time.
Yeah. And so what are you doing? So you've done the assessment, and that you know revealed, confirmed some of what your suspicions were, and so where are you at in the process now, to move from taking what you know to be true, and trying to help ease that divide.
So as I said, it's not a sprint, it's a journey. Yeah. Jim and I are volunteers, and there's a lot of perks in being a volunteer. You get to kind of speak the truth. You don't have to please anybody. You can be gathering people together, all of those things we've been doing. But we also know that we couldn't apply for more funding because we have no entity to collect that money. So we did ask our commissioners to help us, and they identified CCIU, which did the assessment with a special Magellan. The rest of the name of Magellan is?
Magellan Advisors.
Advisors did our assessment. And then CCIU was the manager of that. They thought that they would be a great entity to work on this, as well as the Chester County Economic Development Council. So we have Mary Frances McGarity and Jessica Saul working with us. And we decided this needed to be Chester County-wide. So it's now called Chester County Digital Alliance. So we have phased into that, even though we're still paying a lot of attention to Southern Chester County. The other piece was the literacy, and that was the one I really connected with because I knew a lot of the nonprofits. I'd worked with them as a public health nurse and recognized that they had good relationships with the clients, the vulnerable population. So we had another meeting about 6 months later and called people together around literacy, digital literacy, and an organization called RSVP. It's been around about 50 years. It stood for Retired Senior Volunteer Program, but now they just call themselves RSVP. And their forte is volunteerism. They get a lot of trained volunteers to mentor youth and to tutor, but they were doing some tutoring to seniors during the pandemic. And they had a great idea of how to do this on Zoom. So they said they were interested in being actually the entity to start working on this before we even had any other funding. And Jim and I went around and got some local funding, which was great. We got about $40,000 to just help RSVP that first year. And then we reached out to all these nonprofits in the area. We got 12 organizations to sign up and send employees for training by Zoom. And it was called Train the Trainer. And the idea was they would be trained on very basic skills that an iPhone uses. We talked about learning how to use email, you know, many people, and also how to communicate with the schools through their virtual program. Apps, how do you download apps? How do you use the web if you're doing some educational research? How do you use Zoom? And then the most important one that they introduced in the beginning was internet security, because we didn't want people hacked. So they took that on, and we've had three different sets of training, and we're continuing with that. And they actually applied for government funding and got $200,000 over 3 years to do digital literacy for all of Chester County. So we're still working on that piece, but that's a little more accomplished than the other. The next step, you can talk about what we're going to be doing now with the assessment. Yeah.
Well, I have a question for you. The program you just described with RSVP, I guess, is targeting seniors.
No, it's not. Okay. They were willing to. We had three groups we said we were going to target.
Okay.
The non-English speaker, the senior, and then the low income that could not afford devices. Okay. And they were the ones that we saw as disenfranchised. And they took that on because they also teach kids too, yeah, besides being.
As you've been talking, I've been thinking that this is really an income inequality problem as much as digital equity problem, because you could look at food, nutrition, healthcare, all these things that are unavailable to low income people. And it's a much bigger question, but it's just sort of on my mind. Is you're starting here, and it's a good place to start. It's manageable, but it's the bigger problem that really worries me.
And it's still, SCON is doing a great job of bringing people together once a month to work on that. But I agree with you, totally agree. But I'll tell you what, the more capacity you build, people can have job skills that they're going to develop through using the internet. They're going to increase their salaries. Chris Manna from the library is very excited about trying to even teach people how to do coding and how to do data collection. And those are much better paying jobs than some of the other jobs. So there's a lot of opportunity. I guess we're looking at it from the opportunity side.
That's good.
Yeah, thank you, Nick.
So it's interesting, Nick, as you talked, it is an inequality issue, because you did a good job of articulating, you know, whether, you know, the wires and the connection and the devices and all those things, those are just a means to an end. And the end is for people to reach their full potential, whatever that may mean, and to enjoy a better life through their own efforts and access to the things that the internet provides, whether that be healthcare, whether that be work, what we call workforce development, or improving their job skills so they can earn more money, whether that be access to the banking systems, to electronic commerce, to the libraries, to the education system itself, to research, all of the different things that the internet allows you to do, those are the things that people are missing out on. And those are the things that really allow them to reach their potential as a human being. And for us, for Joan and myself, we look at this as something that is essential in the fabric of the community. If you really are a growing community, a community that embraces diversity and inclusion, then the internet is one of the key essential ingredients to helping you achieve that. And if you don't embrace the internet in some form or fashion, then I think you're going to fall behind as a community, and you will not allow your residents to reach the potential that I think each and every one of us has, whatever that may be. You know, we are embarking on an initiative to create what we'll call advisory groups. So advisory groups would be people that basically are in the community, organizations, businesses, whatever that may be, who can become part of this digital alliance and help us understand what their vision is for using the internet. So a good example would be healthcare, to form an advisory group of hospitals or public health, et cetera, to understand what they're doing in the digital area and how that can be applied throughout Chester County. And that, of course, then reinforces the need for digital equity across all areas. Another would be higher education. So that would be universities, that would be technical colleges, that would be community colleges. Another one would be civic participation, and that could be attending all sorts of civic meetings, or being able to listen into civic meetings, or being able to listen into podcasts like this one around, you know, some issues that are in the community. Without access to the internet, you are, in essence, kind of distanced, if you will, disenfranchised mm-hmm. from being part of the community.
No, thank you. That helps me a lot.
Thank you, Nick.
And I think, you know, just from my personal life story, right, there was a moment in time when my parents and my in-laws, my children and my nieces and nephews, my nieces and nephews started to communicate via cell phone. And there was all this texting going on, all this back and forth. And my mother made a conscious decision that was not her world. She was not stepping into it. And she was not going to learn how to use a cell phone. And she was not going to learn how to text because that was not her world. She wanted nothing to do with it. My mother-in-law, on the other hand, said, I'm going to learn how to do this. And people worked with her and taught her. And I get texts from her all the time now, and so do all of her grandchildren. And you know, there's no comparison to the level of relationship that, you know, my in-laws have with my children versus what, you know, my own parents had with my children. Mm-hmm. And it's just that helping get to that place where you say, hey, this is a tool. And it helps me step into a new world and communicate in a different way. And so I'm thankful for the work that you're doing along those lines. It's extremely extremely worthwhile and extremely needed. So
I'm excited for the seniors during the pandemic. They were so isolated, and the ones that could do even FaceTime with their iPhones were less isolated. They really were. I have a fun story that just this last weekend, my husband and I visited our granddaughter at the University of Maryland, and we go to a restaurant, and of course, they don't pass out menus anymore. You have to use the QR code. We went into our hotel room, and there were buttons everywhere to turn on the lights, to take care of the draperies. There was nothing in the room that was just manual. It was all technology. And I thought, what about grandparents that are coming to a graduation? They're going to get stuck in that room.
They are.
It was just so funny. It was just, so I think there's a, when there starts to be be a curiosity about it in that it doesn't have to bite the whole orange, just one bite. I've seen some seniors just come to life. I have one senior that said she never, ever learned technology, and now she's sending me emojis, and she's sending me messages by text, and even taking photographs with her phone and sending pictures. So I'm so happy for her. That's just opened up a lot for her in her life, yeah.
So Jim, I know one of the things that you're also doing, besides all of this, is you're doing advocacy. Would you mind sharing a little bit about the advocacy that you're doing? Because I think that's equally as important.
I 100% agree with you, Dan. And, you know, it's interesting because we still, Joan and I still go around and talk to folks about, you know, the need. And usually that's to people who already have access to the internet who are unaware. And then when you look at people who don't have access to the internet, to use a phrase, they don't know what they don't know. And so you're trying to make them aware of all of the different potential, right? And of course, that's not for everybody. You know, some people like to dip their toe in and that sort of thing. So awareness and advocacy is very big throughout the community. The other thing that we are doing, I think, really well is working with, as Joan said, the Economic Development Council and the Chester County Intermediate Unit and the Southern Chester County Chamber of Commerce, now expanding to chambers of commerce all across Chester County, to make them aware of the impact of the internet on workforce development and just on quality of life. And then I would say the other part of advocacy that we spend an awful lot of time on is going to Harrisburg and meeting with the state senators and the state representatives, and making them aware of the fact that the Chester County Digital Alliance exists, making them, hopefully enlisting them to be supporters of what we're doing. In some cases, that is vocal support, that is in-person support, and hopefully down the road, that also might be financial support. And I think advocacy is something that maybe gets overlooked from time to time because many, many folks are so focused on doing, right, which is a great thing, but you also have to work on the awareness and the advocacy because that's how you build coalitions. That's how you build community support, a groundswell, so to speak, to make these things happen. So we spend an awful lot of time on awareness and advocacy.
That's interesting because when you first mentioned advocacy, I wasn't quite sure what you meant by that. But I had a question earlier that related to who's going to pay for this. And when you get right down to it, it's the taxpayer that's going to have to pay for it. And so that becomes a political issue. And then, so that's where advocacy has got to really come in.
Thank you for that. We're lucky that we now have a Pennsylvania Broadband Authority Committee that was formed about a year and a half ago, and they're working on actually being ready. They're developing a plan to receive megabucks from the federal government, $42.5 billion from the federal government, from the infrastructure bill is going to be passed out throughout the country. So Pennsylvania should get a good chunk of funding. And we want to be ready to be able to use that funding in a smart way. Well, as Jim talks about it, it's smart communities, not just to take money and have it misused. We want to use the taxpayers' money well. So I feel like there is money coming through the pipeline, and that's why we needed this more formal organization, too, to really help. So that's going to be an interesting process. It really is.
Indeed.
Yeah. And we're behind times, really, in Pennsylvania. We're a commonwealth. So as you know, that we have 73 different townships just in Chester County. Can you picture that? Yeah. So in trying to get people to work together across the borders, you know, is just a real challenge. So it's going to be, we're staying the long haul, but it's going to be an interesting ride.
I think the other thing, to piggyback on what Joan said as far and what Dan asked about advocacy, this is not like a discrete project. It really goes on and on and on. And so one of the things that we talk a lot to folks about, both local and also in Harrisburg, is this issue that we call sustainability. So, you know, we're kind of looking around the corner at, you know, what are we going to be doing or what do we want to look like in 2030, the decade of 2030, and using the technology that will be available to us then and making sure that people are aware that we need to be planning now for what will come and make sure that we have the processes in place, the organization in place, the staffing in place, maybe the recurring funding. Notwithstanding the amount of money that's coming out of Washington over the next probably 2 years for the Infrastructure and Investment Jobs Act, there will still be need for investment ongoing for devices, for digital literacy, for new developments or new people that want the access to the internet, for enhancing libraries' ability to use technology, the healthcare, and so on and so forth. So I think it's both an immediate focus, but then it's also a long-term focus. And we want to make sure we don't lose sight of that long-term focus.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that's valuable. So if there are people who are listening to the podcast and they're getting, you know, they're listening and they're saying, this is something I could be, I can wrap my mind around. This is something that interests me and that I would like to be involved in. What's the best way for them to be in touch with you or to be in touch with whoever to say, yeah, I want to add my voice to be a part of this issue of digital equity in Chester County?
That's the best question of the night. Okay. We would ask that on the podcast, you'll see our webpage and you'll see our contact information. And I'm a real advocate for the literacy piece. As Nick was asking about RSVP, if it's just seniors, they are recruiting all age volunteers, teenagers on up, to receive this Zoom training online. It's 15 weeks. They can do it. Now they have a platform called Moodle that they can actually do a self-guided training. And then they'll hook them up with different classes that need support. They'll hook them up with individuals. And it's a very satisfying experience. I know anybody that does tutoring one-on-one, they'll say that they got more from it than they gave. So that is a great opportunity. You don't have to be smart in all these subjects that tutors are in, but just a little bit about your iPhone. And after you've had the training, you're ready to go if you care about people. So I would say that would be just wonderful. We're also connecting with a place called Sycamore International that refurbishes computers. They're starting to partner with us. We always can use computer devices, and we're going to try to get that more established in Southern Chester County so people could maybe donate, use computers, and we would partner with Sycamore, or people want to donate new computers, but that kind of thing, you know, devices are still needed desperately in some of the low-income areas. And then, of course, Jim, talk about advocacy, you know, what volunteers we want.
Well, I think, as Joan said, you know, with the devices, if you are a member of an organization and you know that periodically you turn over, so to speak, your computers, and you would like to donate those computers, we would certainly be interested in talking to you about that. If you would like to be part of one of these advisory groups that we talked about, whether it be healthcare, libraries, education, that would be another opportunity. If you believe in the things that we're talking about here and you would be okay with signing a letter that might say, I enthusiastically support this and I believe that we should embrace this as a community, we would certainly be interested in talking to you. And then, as Joan said, if you are willing to volunteer, suppose you have skills in training and you would like to learn how to train folks on digital skills and digital literacy, either as a separate organization or maybe through the Kennett Library or one of the other libraries in Chester County, that would be another opportunity. And I'll stop there. We probably have another 10 or 15 things we could talk about, but those are great. And, you know, we've had great support from the community so far, from the community organizations, and we're so thankful for that.
Good. You know, one of the things that strikes me as I'm listening to all this is that, you know, there's an opportunity here for a younger generation who, you know, any time that any of these digital platforms updates, they move to a new look or a new whatever. I'm at the age now where I sit there and look, why? You know, I'm comfortable with what was. Why are you changing this? You're messing with me and you're making my life difficult. You know, younger people just laugh at me and they just say, well, it's because we're making it better. It's going to be better. And I'm at the age where I sit there and go, yeah, but I was okay with what was. So why you insist on making it better? But there is a younger generation for whom, man, they're just fascinated with the new. They're fascinated with the technology, and they can pick up a phone or a device and they can just intuitively work their way through it. And there's an opportunity here for that generation to be able to say, hey, I've got a skill set. I have a skill set that some of the rest of you don't have. And let me share it with you.
I love it.
And I think there's, so if you're listening and you're working with youth, if you've got a youth group, if you've got young children in your house and you're looking for a place for them to volunteer somewhere, this just seems to me like an amazing place to do it, to be able to say, look, take the skill set that they have, and let's connect them with people who need to grow and learn a new skill set. And I mean, that's what community is, right? We bring skills to where there's needs, and we leverage our community. We work together, excuse me, for the common good. And so, Jim and Joan, thank you.
Thank you very much.
For our conversation together.
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, you're
welcome.
Thank you,
Nick.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, until next time, people, just, be mindful that even in the midst of where you may be and, you see these things that you may take for granted, and you may say, yeah, this is normal for me. It might not be normal for other people. And so be aware of your blessing and look for ways that you can be a blessing to others. Thank you. And until next time, be well.